It's hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey at 145. Where are we at in society? Sam Pica is producing, which means the latest edition of Am I the A-Hole? At 1:30, Ari Temkin joins us 30 minutes early to talk Dallas Cowboys and Big 12. And in mere minutes, it's our weekly chat with Jeff Ward, which is coming on the heels of us watching Jeff Ward kick an extra point in A&M, Texas from back in 1983, I think it was. I'm Trey Elling, Sam Pica behind the glass, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two, a lot to get to. First off, thank you for calling at A&M, Texas. Secondly, we've got a lot going on.
Damn coaching mistake by me.
Including the opportunity for you to win the $50 gift card to the University Co-op online store. Get on out to Total Wine and More on Research. That's 10,001 Research. Find the Coors Light display, take your picture, and when you upload it, use hashtag LonghornsMadeToChill. You'll be registered for that gift card. Thanks to Coors Light for being such a great partner. Get all stocked up for Thanksgiving, and that's Total Wine and More on Research.
You know why I say A&M, Texas?
Why is that?
One, because it's not that big of a deal for me, unlike Texas OU, but two...
Alphabetical in your brain?
No, it's not that. It's because when you say it like it, quote-unquote, should be said, Texas A&M... I could just be saying Texas A&M. So yeah. I need to clarify that I'm talking about that game. So I either have to say Texas A&M or flip it.
I always find that that game is easier to do with mascots. Either go Longhorn Aggie Longhorn. I think that's generally the best way to go. But you know what? This is the guy that can tell us for sure.
Is that really a debate you're having?
Let's go to the
welcome to Sports Radio, Jeff.
These are the most important discussions, Mr. Ward. How dare you?
What's next? Gun control?
we work up to things like that. The Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. It is Jeff Ward, Statesman News Network, JeffWardShow.com. Check out at Jeff Ward on Twitter if you want to give him a follow. This is the first time, I believe, that I've watched someone perform in a football game, and then I'm interviewing them immediately.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty weird.
Like, this was wonderful.
Brush with greatness stuff here.
Yeah, or oldness.
Well, a little bit of both.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's the latter.
Since today is the anniversary of the Tucker kick, we're talking a little bit of Longhorns and Aggies and that kind of stuff. What do you remember about playing the Aggies back in the day?
Well, playing that game in TV right there, which was a crazy story. I was a freshman on that team. That was the team that was so good that blew A&M out at Kyle Field, and it was the most talented, I told you guys before we started, the most talented quarterback prospect I've ever seen was lighting them up. His name was Rick McIver. Mm-hmm. He was 6'5", 6'6", 240, with a cannon for an arm that was drafted in the second round, and he didn't even play very much in college. That's how talented he was. He came in that game, and I think we lit him up for 55 or 52 or whatever it was.
45-13?
Okay, whatever.
I'm 52. It was a lot.
He came off the bench, and he just torched them.
Was that his final year?
Yeah.
So he pretty much made himself NFL money off of that game.
I don't remember. I was a freshman on that team. There weren't very many freshmen on that team. He was a fifth-year senior. I don't remember seeing him play at all. Next thing I know, I go, well, who's that guy? He's just torching them.
And, who's that guy?
Yeah, he looks like the way a quarterback should look, but he could run, too. Well, he was drafted in, I believe he was drafted in the first two rounds in Major League Baseball, too.
Wow.
Well,
yeah.
And you recall, as better than anybody, but is it safe to say in 1983 the Southwest Conference wasn't exactly a spread-it-out-and-chunk-the-ball conference?
I know. That was... I mean, I was off doing whatever I do, and I look at the balls, they're just flying through the air. It's like, what's going on out here?
You're allowed to pass the ball this much?
Seriously, I think he came off the bench and threw every down. The other thing I remember about, you know, it's I remember playing against, I think they were one of the three best teams I played against in college, and that would have been an 85 A&M team with one of the most underrated, outside of probably College Station, quarterbacks I can remember. It was Kevin Murray. That team, that A&M team that beat us there on a cold night at Kyle Field, that was one of the best teams I've seen, man for man. They had both sides of the ball. They had talent all over the place. I was on the Playboy All-America team, and I believe there were three Aggies on there, two on defense, and the tight end was Rod Bernstein, who was out of this world good.
Yeah, he went on to play for the Broncos.
Yeah,
and
yeah. I mean,
he was a freaky tight end for those days, too.
I know. He was a great, great athlete. He was a running back for a while, and they moved him. I don't know how they beat us that night, and it was no contest. And I kept thinking, I don't know how they're not playing for a national championship because they were that good.
That was the team, I think, that lost to Ohio State.
They lost to Ohio State, yeah.
Chris Spielman in Ohio State.
Yeah, which was a good team, too. But that was, you know, I think back, there was an A&M team I played in 85, and then there was an SMU team that may have been the most talented team I've ever played against. Yeah, right before they got the death penalty.
Oh,
they were they were freaking loaded.
The Reggie Dupard years.
Oh, yeah. They had
they could play now.
They had pros all over the place. Now, yeah. Granted, they were all, like, it was corrupt and stuff, but... So those were really, really good Southwest Conference teams that had pro players. That A&M team under Cheryl had pro players all over the place.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that. I think it may have been that year. One of the best college football games I've ever seen in my life was A&M-SMU at Texas Stadium.
Yep.
A&M came back and beat them like 35-33.
Yep.
It was one of the craziest good games I've ever watched.
They were that year, we were pretty good, but they were both of those teams were better than us.
Yeah.
I think we beat SMU that year. But that A&M team was lights out good. I mean, still to this day, I think back to teams, you know, played against some good teams, some Oklahoma teams that won a national championship. But that A&M team that he had in the mid-80s, and even go the next year, was – they were like Jimmy Johnson teams. They were North-South teams. Mm. You know, college football today now is, you know, these teams, you know, when Johnson, Cheryl did it first. Cheryl was like this guy, Jackie Cheryl. They really revolutionized, certainly they started the defensive side of the ball, where it was you usually had gigantic linebackers, gigantic linemen, and the game just was like a shoving match. They came into the college game, and they started finding guys that could chase the ball down. So they would find these linebackers that were just flying all over the place. Johnson did the same thing. Jimmy Johnson did the same thing at Miami. Next thing you know, they both find these quarterbacks that just, they go north and south. They don't throw it sideways and juke guys. They were like NFL teams. They were built like NFL teams, even in the 80s.
By the way,
that's how I define, you know, that's how I define, the NFL game is a north-south game.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go anywhere. You don't throw a swing pass in the NFL and have it work out usually. They'll run you down. So you have to throw through tight windows. So the NFL game has to be north and south.
Hmm. Was that game in Kyle Field in 85 the most raucous away crowd you played in front of in your college career?
Yeah, probably. Plus, it was sleeting. Like, that's a miserable, no offense, but that's a miserable place anyway. If the weather's good, I feel like it's hell anyway.
How dare you?
But my God, when it's sleeting, it's like I'm looking up there going,
it's a different
world.
This is
what I'm talking about here. The player introductions, they have a fan or something to the left of these guys making it look like
blowing,
they're...
man. There's no fans out there.
That is not, okay, you can't see with that dude necessarily, but the wind is not blowing that hard
hair.
That consistently.
I bet there was some hair going on there for me, flopping around out of the back of that helmet.
But straight mullets.
By the way, you want Rick McIver's line from 83? 8 of 12 for 170 and 4 touchdowns.
Wow.
That's efficiency, kids.
That would be the first half.
That was...
It had to be more than that.
I swear, that's what it says for the whole game.
For 45 points?
Yeah.
What's that quarterback rating?
It's a serious rating. He threw four touchdowns and some... And this says Billy Boy Bryant?
Yeah.
What kind of names are you playing with back there? What's going on, man, in 83? Apparently, he threw a touchdown pass as well. Five total touchdowns.
Yeah, reverse pass, yep.
For Texas. And let's see, running the ball, how about 187 yards rushing? That'll do it.
Yeah, it was
there.
A beatdown.
Brett Duhon had five catches for 106 and two touchdowns.
Yeah, Brent, but that's okay.
Brent, my bad. Brent Duhon, and back in the day, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That is productivity.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so we talked a little Texas and Texas A&M today, but also it's
your
Texas.
Your Aggies, they're about to get screwed.
Why is that?
You know, if there were a playoff, I think the Caldwell Aggies would be in the final eight. Okay, I'm not sure they're not on the final four. I just talked to Kirk Bowles a little while ago. I don't know if people are aware of this. In the college football playoff of four, which I think is stupid, do you realize that if for some reason the game is wiped out because of COVID, you get a pass?
They just let you advance?
You advance.
You get a bye?
That's what he told me.
Oh, wow.
He was on a – he said last night it was the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but yeah.
You wouldn't replace a team. You wouldn't have somebody on standby.
And so, I don't know why, because I have this thought that, you know, this crazy season, because you're going to have you're judging. Let's say you're judging a ten win Notre Dame team. What is a 6-win Oregon team like? How do you factor in 10 and 11 win teams versus a 6-win team?
we said this whenever the Big Ten and right. Pac-12 announced that they were going to get this short.
I mean, what does that even mean?
Well, right. As soon as they announced that they were going to get a shortened season going, it's like, look, I don't care if you don't do this going forward. This year there needs to be an 8-team playoff because there's so much uncertainty,
right.
including these teams that may be undefeated at 5-0 or 6-0.
It's the exact conversation we just had, and he said that Lincoln Riley was, you know, because they're good now. They're turning the corner.
Yep.
And he was saying that, you know, Riley was one of the first to start talking trash, saying, we're a 10-win team or could be a 10-win team. And there were six. How's that fair? But it is what it is. What's not going to be fair is if all of a sudden, you know, you show up and let's say it's Alabama set to play Clemson and Clemson gets COVID part two, Bama advances.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize
and
that.
Imagine if you are sitting there at 5, which I think they probably are, the Aggies of Caldwell, and you're going, I'm sorry, we're not playing and they got a pass.
And then what if that team has already played their bowl game?
Oh, they played their bowl? Exactly.
And won the game.
Yeah.
They'd be sitting there thinking, well, mm-hmm. see, that'd be another way to think about it.
I just got this fear, and I mean, I hate this because they're good. And I think they're on the outside looking in, and they're going to be on the outside looking in, which I don't even know I agree with now for A&M, but imagine being the outside looking in a scenario like that. Mm-hmm. They couldn't call you up and say, come over here and play today or something, like find 12 dudes and let's go?
I think it'd be a great idea to have like an alternate system where you say,
they're going to have to.
Whether it's A&M or, I don't know, maybe Notre Dame or whoever's in that circumstance, Cincinnati, let's say, you tell them, hey, go play your bowl game, and if you win it, you're an alternate in case somebody drops out for COVID.
Yeah.
We're watching the Pac-12, SEC, and others rearrange schedules where they say, all right, four teams, two right. of them have COVID, let's have the other two play.
Right.
They should think about
that. It's like that. A pickup game. Can you go find six yeah. dudes and let's go?
Think about the revenue loss of that.
Oh.
The semifinal game is about to be played and somebody can't go because of COVID?
Okay. If I'm ESPN, I'm calling you up and I'm going to say, you need to go find somebody right now to get over here at 1 o'clock and start playing because I paid you to play. Nah, I don't have 4 hours of figure skating I can show today.
Right.
So you guys are going to play.
Right? By the way, are you calling them the Aggies of Caldwell?
Yeah,
Caldwell
Aggies.
Love that.
It's Caldwell, right? Caldwell
area? The town just before.
Suburban Caldwell?
Bryan College Station.
How dare you? Caldwell is a specific town. You know where Caldwell is. There is no need for such jabs and barbs.
It's not that bad.
Knife to the ribs.
I just said they should be in the playoff. I said there are, I think they're one of the best five teams.
They're fun to watch. I can't wait to see. I want to see what this time off does to them.
Yeah. I mean.
2 full weeks for you to play.
I can't think. I mean, think of that program that has wanted this chance so long, and all of a sudden it's sitting there. It's like dangling in front of them, and they may get left out by the most bogus right. COVID excuse of all time.
And let me be clear. I said they're fun to watch. They're fun for me to watch. They're not fun for everybody else to watch, and that's why they might get left out. Because Jeff Ward, whether you like it or not and whether I like it or not, we are in a pageant system here.
I know. You're right.
And it's judged. And right now, Notre Dame, Cincinnati, Florida certainly
yeah.
is playing a brand of football
right.
that's going to make a judge go, ooh, interesting, a little bit more than the Aggies are.
In Florida's case, it's illogical because A&M and Florida have played this year.
Right.
The Aggies won that game.
They should be ranked
ahead of Florida in every freaking poll. But I'm seeing people suggesting that Florida is better in the pecking order than A&M. Is right now in terms of the playoff.
They're lowering up. Yeah, they're
That's
one.
It's going to take
lawsuits. Lower up because I think they're going to get screwed.
Florida's one slot above A&M in the coaches poll, despite the loss.
Right.
Just like Oklahoma is one slot above Iowa State this week.
Yeah.
Ludicrous.
You got to have that little addendum put in. Can we at least do that if we're together on a poll and we played?
Yeah.
Can we figure that part out?
I think this thing is setting up for. I mean, look. I think every college football season there's it's kind of a travesty, but I hate it for them because I think they deserve to be in. And because of who they are, they're not going to get in. And because of some quirky COVID thing, they may get completely screwed. And somebody may get a pass. You may get a pass to the final if your opponent happens to cough that night.
Well, what happens if you're in the week between the semis and the championship game?
Yeah.
And it happens. You're going to just give somebody the...
You're going to have a team in the stands on standby.
Right, like a high school basketball tournament.
Exactly. Come on down.
I mean, well, are you going to give somebody that trophy just because they showed up?
Yeah.
You did not have COVID. Hey, you know what? Coaches have been saying that they're fighting two different foes, right?
Yeah.
You're playing the opponent and COVID. So maybe you'd just be declared the COVID champion. You had less cases. Congratulations.
What's wrong with Caldwell? I thought that's where you guys go.
Nothing's wrong with Caldwell.
Like there's a Bennigan's there or something, isn't there?
No. There's a speed trap on the outskirts of Caldwell that gets a lot of people.
I have had lovely meals at the Pizza Hut in Caldwell, and I hear that the Surrey Inn is lovely this time of year, but that is not where A&M is located, and you know that. You're just being silly, and there's no need to do that.
If you're gonna do that, at least have flair and call them the Dime Box Aggies.
Like that'd be more interesting, wouldn't it?
Caldwell came to name.
In fairness to Jeff, when you
old
get to,
Dime Box, maybe
I've been there.
In fairness to Jeff, when you get to Caldwell, it does kind of feel like you're in College Station, even though you have another like 20 minutes of driving.
It also feels like you're back in time.
It does.
Every 10 miles east is like another 5 years back in time. That's my philosophy. So by the time you get to Mississippi, it's like 1968. Right? You just keep going back in time. It's like you can document it.
Look,
I say that because my grandparents are from East Texas. But for every certain number of miles you go east, you just go back that many years.
Oh, my God. South Carolina, we've got prohibition going on here.
Yeah.
Did you guys know Solid Gold is on that TV over there? That's crazy.
Hey, regarding the Longhorns, Jeff, they obviously had an unscheduled bye week this last week after Kansas had some COVID issues crop up. One bye week can be a great thing for a football team. Is two straight bye weeks, though, a net positive or negative for a team?
In college football, it's probably a negative right now. In the NFL, any time off is a positive. You see that with Dallas. So they haven't played enough to be that tired.
Yeah.
So, I think it's probably a negative. Mm. Yeah,
the health is the biggest positive.
Yeah, I mean,
just
the health,
healthy as you can get.
I mean, I guess for Texas, any day off that Sam Ellinger gets is a positive. I mean, that's a guy who's he's got dog years in football. So, I mean, I guess that if you look at it, the rest of them probably not. Maybe if I'm Tom Herman, I'm thinking, yeah, cool, he gets his legs back. So, I mean, it's like a bowl game. My God, if they have an excuse, if they have to call a timeout early in the game. My head's coming off my body.
Right.
Like, what have you been doing for a month? Like, you don't have these plays called already?
Well, and somebody looked up the numbers this week.
It's a bowl game preparation for them, basically. Yeah. You've had all this time to get ready for one opponent.
Tom Herman off a bye and Tom Herman in the bowl prep has been really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's something about the style that he employs. And
maybe it's the opponent sucks.
He said this week he doesn't know what's different about it. But I mean,
yeah, the opponent probably sucks.
Well, no, say what you want about their opponent and their opponent's mindset. But they took it to Georgia and Utah.
Yeah.
I mean, those two teams can give me excuses of, well, maybe we didn't want it, whatever.
Yeah.
They were absolutely ready to go for those games. That was obviously the longer period of time. So I want to see what they look like because Iowa State has about as much rhythm right now as you could possibly have. Yes, it's a short week, but they stomped on K-State and got to rest guys at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, it was perfect.
No, it's an interesting chess match. Iowa State wins, guess what we're talking about next Tuesday?
Tom Herman's replacement?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it get done over the weekend
if they lose?
I asked Bowles about that because I thought you know, he sort of shared my view that the optics of paying out $50 million during this time is really ugly. But his take was he hears that the people that have the money don't care.
Right.
So, I find the whole thing offensive that if you got that kind of money during COVID, go to a children's hospital or something. You don't need to go pay a bunch of coaches. But he seems to think that the conversation gets pretty dark and twisted by next week if Iowa State wins.
I would think
I'm surprised by that.
The issue would just be to me is are they willing to do it immediately?
No doubt. I mean,
or do you want to ride December out?
This whole attitude about fire the coach in vengeance never works well. You need to have a plan. And I have no idea. I have no evidence. I don't know that he said he had any evidence that they had a plan. So anytime you just get mad and say fire them, it usually ends up in a bad spot. You got to make the right call.
I'm pretty sure that they will have that plan in place.
You better.
If they let go of Tom Herman, and it will involve selling your football soul for Urban Meyer.
That's about all that's left, isn't it? I mean, like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
Go hire another mid-level college coach? No, I think you have to go big.
All right, last question.
That's their only option.
Last question of the week.
Oh, he's going to fit one in. All right.
As always,
is it
non-sports.
Sexual?
Yeah, let's hope.
I hope not.
Mildly sexual this week. Get ready for a ton of
like
emails and phone calls. This is how I live
chat
my life.
Or something.
power rank your favorite Thanksgiving sides.
Oh, that's a good one.
One through five.
Nice softball.
What?
Your favorite
Thanksgiving sides. Do you want me to ask you something sexual?
No, calm down.
Maybe have a different question with the
Let the man talk food.
Well, mashed yams.
Please let him talk food.
I'm kind of a nuts and twigs guy, so this is not going to play well. Well, since Luby's is closed, liquidated, you know, my Thanksgiving is ruined.
That's a shame.
You can't do the fried fish.
I go by myself and sit in the corner and read the Wall Street Journal under the paintings of wild horses in a field. With another old guy.
They should have a Luby's in Caldwell, just for the record.
It's the only one. There's a Radio Shack and a Luby's in Caldwell.
They should have one.
Two furs.
Yes, two of them.
Some carrots, maybe, and some...
Carrots?
Yeah. I don't know. Austin Hope Cabernet from Paso Robles. Does that count?
Nice.
Sure.
Yeah.
He just went with carrots and wine.
Yeah, absolutely. What else? And some cigarettes.
There it is.
Unfiltered.
All right.
Unfiltered.
You asked the question, Trey.
I gave you an answer.
And you got your answer.
I gave it to you.
We'll never give another softball to this man again.
That is awesome. Jeff Ward, Statesman News Network, JeffWardShow.com, at Jeff Ward Show on Twitter. Give him a follow. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the games. And happy Thanksgiving, sir.
Same to you.
Jeff Ward, every Tuesday, nice enough to give us some of his time. Normally, we talk to Ari Temkin at 2, but Ari needs to go right away at 1:30, so we're going to stack up guests for you. Let's talk Cowboys next and some Big 12 with Ari. Don't move. It's the Horn. Oh, downright funky on a Tuesday. Hope you're getting ready for Thanksgiving. Hope you're having a good one. Sam Pico, what's that?
This is For Those Who Like to Groove by Ray Parker Jr. and Radio.
Ray Parker Jr.
There you go.
Ghostbusters theme.
That's true. For Those Who Like to Groove, is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
For Those Who Like to Groove. And then go ahead into For Those About to Rock by AC/DC, and then you just keep going. Find all kinds of songs that start with that wording. Thanks to Sam for producing. He will give us some Am I the A-Hole coming up at 1:45. Let me remind you, before we talk to Ari, it is a Coors Light Longhorn photo booth again. Total Wine and More all week long. Research Boulevard. Take the picture with the display, and then go hashtag Longhorns Made to Chill. You'll be registered when you throw that on social media for a $50 gift card to the UT University Co-op online store. Cool way to get you a little extra Christmas stuff. Maybe put that in a stocking, or just keep it for yourself this Christmas season. We ready to go? Ready to roll? Got to talk to the man after a win. There may not be many more. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. He is Ari Temkin of the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, also Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM. Ari, how are you?
Doing very well. What are we talking about? This team's about to win an NFC East championship here.
Yeah, you're darn right they are. You're darn right. And I'm the old man that's going to root them on no matter what's happening. I am not rooting for losses. And I really enjoyed the game on Sunday, Ari. In fact, these last two, the fight against the Steelers and then the just sort of normal football game against the Vikings. Imagine, if you will, an NFL game where you win the turnovers, you run the ball a little bit, you get a lead late, you protect that lead. That was fun. I enjoyed it.
An actual football game, you know? I mean, it really, a team that doesn't want to make you throw your TV against the wall, a team that, you know, figures out ways to win in complimentary football. Yeah, Brad Sham kept saying it. This is like a real big league football team. How about that? At least 1 week this season, and they did it squashing watermelons. You know, what you brought up about the idea of, you know, get off my lawn. I just want to watch, turn on my team and watch them win games. Like, this was the complete discussion we had on the postgame show. It was this idea of, you know, not rooting for them to lose, but being okay with them losing, because that is going to help your draft status, versus the people that are saying, look, I'm only getting 16 of these a season. I want to tune in to watch my team win and let the draft chips fall where they may. And I think what you have, I mean, and I obviously get both sides of it. I think what you have, though, is sort of the idea of, you know, wanting to have your cake and eat it too, which is I want to root my team to win as many games as possible. But then when the draft comes around and they're drafting it 15th instead of second, I want to complain about that also, because I'd rather than be picking it too, right? I mean, it's just, I want it all.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Ari, this week is dealing with a very sad story coming out of Frisco. Earlier, it was reported by the Dallas Morning News, the Cowboys strength coach Marcus Paul was hospitalized with a medical emergency. It sounds like he may have passed away now. That's just awful to hear.
So yeah, this is always the weird thing about the internet. The email that was released within the hour from the Cowboys basically says that has not passed. So I want to make that very clear.
Really?
Anything that I've heard on this is that Marcus Paul is still alive. I have come across sites across the internet that are reporting that he's dead. I've seen nothing on my end that indicates that. It's a weird time to be alive, man.
My goodness.
I mean, you want to be sure you're right about somebody passing if they have or have not. I mean, I'd say that tongue-in-cheek to a sense, right? Like, that's kind of the world we live in. But at least to my knowledge at this point, based on a release sent out by the Cowboys, again, within the hour, they're saying that Marcus Paul is at the hospital and that he's undergoing further medical tests and that he is alive. But I don't know what the long-term ramifications are of this in terms of, how much he's fighting for his life. But it certainly seems like that's the case. And, yeah, I mean, this is obviously when news comes down early this morning basically saying that there was a medical emergency, not COVID-related, from Cowboys facility this morning. They canceled practice. That's a pretty significant item when you're 2 days away from, game day. Something critical has happened in that capacity. So, I suppose this is news that was expected based on the news this morning. You knew it was going to be somebody big, and it was going to be something big in terms of medical emergency. The Cowboys normally wouldn't practice on Wednesday before a Thursday game, but I'm curious to see now how their week shapes up with this news. But yeah, this is obviously significant news with their trainer being assisted to at a hospital.
Thank you for the clarification there. We have seen reports that did suggest what I had initially stated, but hopefully he will end up being okay. As far as the game this Thursday, Ari, obviously the Cowboys played an absolute stinker in Washington not that long ago. What do they need to do differently this time around to actually defeat the football team from Washington?
Well, the big thing from the last game was they had just a horrific offensive line situation, which just going into the game did not bode well for them. This is strength of that great defensive line for Washington versus, a significant weakness. Zach Martin suffered a concussion the prior week in the Arizona game and was not available to play against the football team, and their offensive line was atrocious. I don't know why it took them so long to go to Zach Martin at right tackle. I think this is something we've been talking throughout the season about, guys, where, clearly we've seen enough of Terrence Steele. With all due respect to Terrence Steele, he's currently not a NFL caliber right tackle. And so they've got people on their roster that are better at that position. And I don't know what finally triggered the decision. My partner on the pregame and postgame show, Brian Broaddus, suggested that perhaps the front office essentially said to him, maybe make this a priority here. Because we need to be winning football games and not developing these young players because this guy's not good enough for whatever reason. I don't know what reason you'd have to continue putting him out there. Developing, winning, whatever. He just wasn't very good. He's not developing. So I just reject both of those ideas. But long-winded answer of, well, their offensive line is significantly better. And that's just based on Zach Martin, who's, the best football player on the Cowboys and still one of the best offensive linemen in football. He'll be available. And now anchoring that right side, guys, that offensive line looked, dare I say, good last week. They ran pretty prolifically against the right side. There was a run in the middle of the game where Zeke Elliott had 100 yards to run. It was incredible how wide the chasm was. He only ran for like 10 yards because he tripped. But they're going to run effectively from the right side with Zach Martin and Connor McGovern. Their offensive line against, granted, not a great Minnesota pass rush. I do want to add that caveat. But it looked as good as we've seen all year, really, from that offensive line. And I'm including the times when Tyron Smith was healthy. So, I don't think it'll look that effective against a considerably better defensive front, but it will look a lot better than it did the two teams played when Martin was not healthy and available.
Yeah, you would think so. By the way, that first game with Washington is the game where Andy Dalton was came out of the game. He had three sacks in the game, including obviously being taken out, and now, of course, he'll be back. And Ari, if they're going to block like that, then I'm okay with Andy Dalton being the quarterback. I agree with you about that right side. What I'm trying to work through is the credit I'm hearing Mike McCarthy get for making that move. We were talking about this weeks ago with you. This is like giving someone credit for locking the door the fourth time after their house gets robbed three times. Do I really give him this much credit for realizing Zach Martin was good enough to play tackle and realizing that if you drafted McGovern to play offensive line, maybe you should try that? Like, am I really supposed to give them credit for figuring this out?
No. I mean, Chad, nobody wants me as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys because I don't know anything about football. But if we knew about this, we got problems, right? I mean, if we've been talking about this right. for weeks, then, yeah, he absolutely should not be getting credit for basically going to this. And the thing was, he showed it to us. You know, like, yep. we saw it in a game early the year, so – like, we didn't know it was possible. We hadn't seen that. We didn't know Zach Martin could play right tackle, right? I mean, we didn't know that was an option. But once you presented it to us as an option, and now you go back to the other option, and we see that other option is just not good enough, it's like, why would you do that? Just take the path of least resistance. Put your best five out there. And then it's not even, to me, just about that. You've got this young kid in McGovern who was very much an unknown. He was being buried on the depth chart. This is a guy that the scouting department really liked. In fact, I have, you know, pretty good insights into the scouting department. They've been being confused about why he was so buried on this depth chart. So I think we're seeing now it's not just about getting Martin a right tackle, but it's about, like, let's see what Connor McGovern has. Let's see if this is a guy that could be a really good player for you moving forward. And I think that's going to be the case with McGovern at right guard.
Yep.
Ari, because we're a little bit short on time this week, we're going to accelerate the conversation, ask about Texas-Iowa State, and then maybe your predictions on the Big 12 basketball season. Starting with the Pigskin, though, what is your prediction this Friday between the Longhorns and Cyclones?
Man, this is a good one. The Iowa State Cyclones have not won a conference championship since Woodrow Wilson was president, 1912.
Oh, there you go.
They've been here before, 2018. They lost that game. I think that's what they're drawing on. Man, Iowa State, this seems like their Super Bowl in a sense. And, you know, I think that there are some long-term ramifications for this university in Austin if they lose this football game. So this is obviously a tremendous game, implications long-term for both of them. And I see this being a really close game, and I guess I see Iowa State winning it, but I don't – I mean, flip a coin. That's who's going to win it. These are two evenly matched teams – two very good football teams. We're going to see just how good that rush defense is for Texas. It's been prolific. This is the best running game, though, in college football with Breece Hall. And yeah, I'm very excited to see this matchup. It is going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, and then there's, you know, there's the Tom Herman was the offensive coordinator at Iowa State in 2010 when Texas lost to them for the first time ever. And then, of course, Chris Ash is from Ottumwa, Iowa. He went to Drake in Iowa and, of course, coached Iowa State. So there's some pretty significant ties between Iowa State and the University of Texas.
All right, Ari, before we let you go, obviously everybody knows when it comes to Big 12 basketball, the discussion ramps up a lot. Texas fans are excited about Greg Brown coming in and what they might see. How good do you think Texas could be, and what will they deal with in this version of the Big 12?
The Big 12 is loaded this year. I mean, because the best team coming into the year and probably the favorite to win the conference is not Kansas. It's Baylor, and it shows you how good this conference is. So, between Baylor, Kansas, West Virginia, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State. I mean, it's going to be very tough. I know we always talk about how good the conference is, top to bottom. Sometimes I think we're just talking about that, but this year it really is loaded. I mean, two of the three top teams of the country are out of the Big 12. So this is obviously a huge year for Shaka. It's crazy to think how much different things would have been had the end of the season last year played out, because I think Texas was about to play a game against Texas Tech that could have decided Shaka's fate. Because if Texas lost that game in that Big 12 tournament, they're probably not dancing, and probably Shaka is no longer at Texas. So it's just crazy to think where his footing is right now on that job, considering it all reboots from a season standpoint. But this is a really good, really deep conference. It's going to be very tough to win games out of.
That is Ari Temkin. Check out the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. Cowboys 3:30 on that kick time this week. So is it 2? We're going 2 on the pregame or 2:30 this week, Ari? Do you know?
We start at 12 locally.
Okay, never mind. That's right. You guys are really sorry. I would go 2 o'clock on our pregame. That's true. And around 3 o'clock on the kickoff. Also, Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM. Check him out there. All right, we appreciate the time, man. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
Love you guys. Happy Thanksgiving, brothers. Be well.
Thanks,
Good
Ari.
Good stuff there, as always, from Ari Temkin. All right, coming up, where are we at in society? Sam Pika's got another round of Am I the A-Hole? Then coming up, speaking of someone who may have been an A-Hole, Trey and a discussion about...
I'm not the A-Hole this time.
Trey... His daughter and Santa Claus in a discussion. Oh, you know where this could go. That's coming up at 2 o'clock. Stay with us. It's The Horn. Rolling through a Tuesday. We'll try to clarify this cowboy story for you as much as we know right now. Coming up. But first, what do you got, Sam?
This is A Night to Remember by Shalimar.
There we go. Also, we remind you, we've got that $50 gift card to the University Co-op online store available for you. Here's how you get registered. You go to the Coors Light display at Total Wine and More this week on Research Boulevard. Take a picture with the display and go hashtag Longhorns Made to Chill when you put that on social media. And again, thanks to Coors Light for being a great partner of ours. Get all stocked up this week at Total Wine and More there on Research for Thanksgiving. So, in trying to clarify this story, Trey, the Cowboy strength and conditioning coach, is a man named Marcus Paul, and he was rushed to a hospital today for a medical emergency, and according to the team, he is, quote, in the process of undergoing further medical tests, and additional information will be made available at the appropriate time. That comes from the team statement. Earlier, there was a report out there that... he may have died. As of this moment, the Cowboys are not verifying that, although you did see something during a break that I hope is wrong. I hope this particular player is wrong. But when you see a tweet like this from a player, it does not sound good.
I don't know, man. I kind of want to stay away from this one now. But Lyle Collins just said something to the effect of, love you, coach. Know you'll be looking down upon us.
Yeah. So this is one of those where, to me, if there's ever a story that you let the team officially let you know, Cowboys and NFL media, this is probably the one. But the Cowboys dealing with heavy hearts today. At the very least, their strength and conditioning coach was rushed to the hospital. He's 54 years old, and we certainly will hope that that first report was erroneous and he is going to be okay. Cowboys getting ready for Washington in 2 days. Crazy turnaround there emotionally for the team as they get ready for the game. And as we told you, 3 o'clock right here on The Horn, 2 o'clock pregame for the Cowboys Radio Network. All right, let's go. Where are we at in society?
Where are we at in society today?
Where are we at in society? Brought to you by Lynch Plumbing, commercial and residential services. When you're in a pinch, call Lynch, 512-450-3416. Online, lynchplumbingtx.com.
All right, it is called Sam Pika producing. So once again, it's Am I the A-Hole? Sam gives us the situation, and we try to figure out if that person is in the wrong or not. Here we go, Sam.
All right, so our possible A-Hole today starts out like this. It's written from a woman's perspective. My husband in 2019 lost his job of 10 years and had to take up some very low-paying ones in the meantime. My daughter, a 15-year-old, has been doing commercials, modeling, and acting jobs since she was 6. Since 2020, my husband has been cut even more, and I don't work and have never worked much. As such...
Hold on, start over.
Yeah,
start
sorry. Over. Basically, start over. She's saying she doesn't work.
Okay.
As such, most of the money we use has come from my daughter as of late, who says she wants to use her nest egg to help us out with stuff like rent for the house that we live in right now, utilities, and she even bought me a really nice tote bag for my birthday. My daughter has worked nonstop for nearly 10 years, and now she wants to have some fun with her friends. However, my husband decides to get all strict and tell her that her curfew is 11 p.m. as of late. She decides on Monday to go out with some friends from the neighborhood. My husband texts her at 11:05 and says if she's not home in 15 minutes, then they were going to have a problem, because she didn't call ahead to warn him. She sends back, "I'll be home when the Uber driver decides to get us home, and don't forget to turn off the lights that I pay for." So she gets home at 12:30 and my husband's mad at her and her snark, her rule breaking, and grounds her for 3 days. Tuesday morning, he goes away to see his mom with cancer. He calls later saying that he's going to be gone for a couple of days because she's in bad shape. Tuesday afternoon, I tell my daughter that I'm ungrounding her and that her dad was wrong to ground her in the first place, that we cannot even begin to repay her for her support. I feel like my husband's curfew is stupid because she's homeschooled and doesn't even need to wake up early in the morning. Secondly, my husband tries to treat her like a child, yet apparently thinks that she's adult enough to pay nearly all of the bills for the house. Am I the a-hole?
Ooh, real quick, how old's the kid again?
15-year-old daughter.
Oh, man. So this is the mom. Is the mom the a-hole? Man.
For ungrounding the young daughter.
You're undermining what the dad's trying to do.
Yes, you're the a-hole there.
A little bit, yeah. Probably a little bit. Whether you agree with what happened there, you guys, it's got to be a united front.
Yes.
And I know it's different that there's a 15-year-old helping you out, but you're not the first parents that have had a kid that's got some income. You got to figure that part out. It's not that's not the kid's fault. The snark was the snark. And even if, you know, I mean, that didn't need to happen. She's messing with her dad's pride there. If she was messing with either one of them that way, I would want the other to back them up.
Yeah.
So I think she's a little bit of an a-hole.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an a-hole move in our household right now when one of the other parents undermines whatever small punishment we have for our 6 or 4-year-old.
Right.
At that level, yeah, big time.
Yeah, she is.
I feel like she is too, because it's like most parents would just say, that's not your nest egg money. That's our money, man. Like, Think about how many child stars got their whole, you know, nest egg ripped away like that.
Well, there's a discussion that needs to be had and kind of an adult thing or whatever. But, you know, look, it's one of those things of, hey, if you want to be that way, you want to be snarky and act like an adult, well, we can figure out a way for you to get out of this house. But you're 15 years old. You're living in our house. This is how it works.
Is it their house, though, if she's paying all the money?
I understand. That it's confusing. But you also don't want to, I mean, she's going to understand later in life. You don't want to be undercut like that by your kid. That's rough.
Fair enough.
That's rough with the kid making the money.
Somebody's upset with us saying that she's the a-hole. Guys, WTF, please explain yourself. I don't understand why you're upset with us over this.
Yeah, I thought we were all in agreement that she was kind of the a-hole.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I would say so.
All right, next story, Sam.
My girlfriend has been attending online courses, and she has an exam for one of them this last morning. I usually wake her up for pretty much everything because she sleeps through her phone alarm no matter how long it buzzes or how many she sets. She has joked that I'm her butler before, and within the context of the relationship, it's okay, so I don't mind, and obviously I want to help my partner since I love her. However, last night she was chatting with her friends and she thought that I couldn't hear. She was bragging that I'm her little bitch and I do everything for her when she tells me to, etc. It really hurt my feelings because they were making comments like, good, put him in his place, and she was agreeing. She specifically said, yeah, I'm not worried about waking up tomorrow because the little bitch will wake me up and I'm sure he'll probably even have breakfast ready for me too. I went to bed pretty hurt by it, and come morning, I didn't bother to wake her up when her alarm started to go. She usually only gets up when somebody physically shakes her, but I let her wake up, turn her alarm off, and watched her slip back into sleep. I turned over and went back to sleep, too. When she woke up, she was yelling at me saying that I'm an a-hole and I've cost her exam and that I'm a POS for what I did. Am I the a-hole?
Yep.
A little bit, but... Yep.
But she started it.
It's earned a-hole
status. Right. Again, a-hole and hero, my new designation in this game. Yes, you're an a-hole, but you're kind of my hero for fighting back against that kind of activity because she doesn't need to be thinking about you that way.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to think of their significant other that way.
Exactly.
Ever.
Does revenge ever make you an a-hole? Like, is...
Yes.
Does it?
Yes.
I don't know, man.
Even when it's justified, you're still kind of an a-hole because deep down in the pit of your stomach, you know you did something wrong. If he's keeping her from some kind of big test, finals, he knows she's got something and he's letting her sleep through it, yes, he is a level of a-hole. I get it. But he is a level of a-hole there. Absolutely.
I feel like
proves the point, though.
What point?
The point that I'm not your little bee.
Exactly. He is proving the point. I am not your alarm clock, and I'm certainly not what you told them I was. And you can cook your own breakfast, too. That's what that is. All right, another edition of Am I the A-Hole? Good stuff. Always get some reaction on the Specs text line. 337-3776 if you want to jump in there. If you want to go to hornfm.com today, we've got the poll on the Longhorns and Aggies. Do you want to see the game come back in some form? So far, over 7 out of 10 people are saying they want the game back every year. Home and home, baby.
Of course they do.
We got to get that thing happening. And nobody wants a neutral site. I'm really happy about that. No neutral sites. Where would you do it? Who'd want to see that? Would you play them in Waco? Nobody wants that.
I mean, I feel like the neutral site game happens in Dallas, right? At Jerry World.
No, we don't need that. Don't need it. Do not need that. Go. So you can go to hornfm.com and check that out and all the other stuff that you might have missed. Up next, it is the story I've been waiting for all day. Trey, his daughter, and Santa Claus in a bit of a standoff. We'll hear the details on the horn.